Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday game day in Kansas City on 96.5 The Fan. Reminder, Royals in action tomorrow on 96.5 tonight. With an off day and everything, the Chiefs pregame coverage starts at 4 o'clock. Mitch Holthus, Dane and Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel gets you set and during the game and post-game as well. All of it, right? There's no reason to change its station. Right here, all day long, 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports, home for Chiefs football, home for Royals baseball tomorrow.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a good time. Are you kidding? Actual football, playoff contention baseball, dream scenario for 96.5 The Fan and you. The listener who gets to stay on one station.
Fantasy football drafts are in the books. I sure hope so. If you're planning on drafting, you got to hurry up. If you have drafted, you're trying to figure out who to actually start.
This afternoon?
You better be drafting right now. But who are you going to start in your lineup? We know nobody better to talk to than our guy, Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us each and every Thursday. Thanks to Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. And Charch, we're obviously excited for the season. But when you look at the Chiefs and Ravens, I want to start with that game tonight, of course. Who do you actually put in the lineup other than the obvious Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce types?
Well, two answers. One, obviously you're going to play some of the obvious guys like Derrick Henry, right? And you're going to play Mahomes, you're going to play Kelce. Rashee Rice I consider a must play. But I'm drawing too much into that AFC Championship game, 17-10, but I have kind of diminished expectations for everybody here, including Derrick Henry, by the way. Your run defense only 6 touchdowns allowed all year last year, and even volume backs struggled against your defense. 6 backs with 18 or more carries that faced Kansas City last year averaged 90 yards and 0.2 touchdowns. There was one touchdown between those 6 backs. I see a good, not great run defense, and one that I think, you know, we don't know how much Derrick Henry's got left, so I'm just kind of cautiously optimistic here. And you guys remember this from the AFC Championship game? The Ravens ran the ball 6 times in that game with their running backs.
They're not going to make the mistake again, right?
No, not with Derrick Henry, right? I mean, it's one thing to do that to Gus Edwards. It's another thing to do that with Derrick Henry. So, you know, you will see a very different, I think, game plan coming from Derrick Henry here. I think some fascinating angles here the most fascinating is Xavier Worthy and what you do about him. Because this is a brutally tough Baltimore defense. They only allowed 12 wide receiver scores all of last year, and only 2 were from speed guys. The other 10 were all like big-bodied receivers, like Amari Cooper and George Pickens and T. Higgins and Keenan Allen, who all posted good games against Baltimore, big-bodied guys. But Worthy, so fast. You know, Patrick Mahomes, you guys know this, his average distance of throw keeps getting shorter year over year, which makes him a little easier to defend. I think Andy Reid wants to put some deep balls to Worthy on tape to force future opponents to have to guard the deep sections of the field, which right now that they haven't had to do. So Worthy's the guy that I struggle with the most in terms of, like, would I actually start him this week? And let me ask you guys, you're as close to this as anybody. Do you think Xavier Worthy pops in week 1 of his NFL career?
The absence of Hollywood Brown is going to make me start him, Charge. I've got him in a league, and I'm going to start him just because of that. Maybe when he comes back and we see the numbers change, I go different. But the other guys, so I'm also curious because yesterday we were looking up on FanDuel, right? And they had Travis Kelce's yardage total at 830.5, which I thought was embarrassing. Way too low for a guy who's never done that except for the one time he had microfracture surgery. His rookie season. What do you see him from a fantasy perspective? You got Travis Kelce. Are you getting number one tight end production again this year?
Oh, I mean, okay. I mean, we're talking 34 years old, right?
Yep.
34 years old. I mean, the end is coming one of these years, but if you had been guessing the last several years that the end is here, you were very, very wrong. The metrics did show the slowdown in the second half of last season. Week 11 to the week 18 didn't score a touchdown. Then obviously had a much bigger role in the playoffs, which your listeners know. I still think he's above the 900-yard range, which is about the floor that he ever puts up. So still really optimistic. I'm his tight end 3 this year. So, obviously I still think he's an elite tight end, and I'm still super confident in Travis Kelce. You're going to start him every week, including this one. Do you see this from the AFC Championship game? They targeted Kelce 11 times. He caught 11 passes.
Right. Yeah, just dominant. He looked like the Hall of Fame tight end again during the postseason. That's now he's healthy. We all know he missed week 1 last year, so people are pretty optimistic.
Yep.
About what he's going to be able to do, as we're talking to Paul Charchid of GuillotineLeagues.com. All right, let's go elsewhere in the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings, your neck of the woods. We know, unfortunately, it's going to be, I'll say unfortunately, Sam Darnold all year. You tell me if I shouldn't be saying unfortunately or not. I mean, what does this do fantasy-wise for Justin Jefferson and Addison, eventually, I guess, TJ Hockenson when he's healthy?
Yeah, it's... Well, this game's a little bit tricky because the Giants might have the best front four in football right now. I mean, Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau, and it's going to be great. The Vikings can't stop themselves from passing. We saw Kevin O'Connell last year. He was a former quarterback's coach, and the past 2 years he's ranked third and third in passing play percentage, and he didn't have Kirk Cousins for half of last year, and it didn't matter. Still kept throwing the ball constantly. So Sam Darnold's never been surrounded by this much competent coaching and players. I want to believe that we're going to get whatever good there is out of Sam Darnold we're going to get here in Minnesota from him. And the Vikings are going to be trailing in a lot of games, and maybe even this week against the Giants. I think he'll cap some players to some degree, but probably not Justin Jefferson. This whole offense goes through him. And let me mention this, guys. Jordan Addison. His rookie year last year, 900 yards and 10 touchdowns as a rookie. Cody, Alex, do you want to guess how many other rookies in the Super Bowl era, which is whatever, 56 years, have posted 900 yards and 10 touchdowns?
I mean, we look up rookie wide receivers every year to try to set some regular standards, so I'm going to guess it's less than 10?
Alex?
Yeah, I'll go with 5.
Yeah, 7. You guys split the difference. 7
okay.
Ever.
We're close.
Ever. Yeah, I mean, so Jordan Addison coming up a really good year, no TJ Hockenson. Now, he's coming up a really good year, a really bad offseason, when you fall asleep in the left lane of traffic at the wheel in L.A., that's not good. I think Addison is a little, people are sleeping on Addison a little bit. I'm optimistic Sam Darnold's going to be non-garbage. But the schedule is the opening schedule after the Giants is also brutal, and you'll need to factor that in as well.
Charge, what are you doing with the rookie wide receivers? I think I got 2 out of 3 between my 4 leagues, but Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers being the only target in New York, and Rome Odunze, who's in a crowded group, but people think he's really talented. Who of those guys are you starting right away?
I've got flex level starting grades for all 3 of them, and Nabers is my favorite. I'll give you quick hitters on all 3. Nabers gets a Minnesota secondary that gave up the 6th most fantasy points to receivers last year and was overhauled with a bunch of veterans at cornerback who other teams did not want, like Shaq Griffin and Stephon Gilmore. Rome Odunze gets the Titans against a defense that finished as Pro Football Focus's 27th-ranked coverage unit. They overhauled their secondary. They got L'Jarius Sneed, who you guys know very well, and he's good. He's going to have to cover DJ Moore or Keenan Allen, and that's going to leave Rome Odunze with far inferior coverage. So I like him, too. The trickier guy out of these 3 is the one who was taken first, Marvin Harrison, against a good Buffalo secondary. Only 3 receivers topped 82 yards against the Bills all of last year. They allowed the 6th fewest fantasy points, and Buffalo's got 2 of Pro Football Focus's top 12 cornerbacks, Taron Johnson and Rasul Douglas, and they're going to – Harrison's going to draw a lot of that coverage, so I'm actually more down on Harrison out of the group, but I think you can start all 3 in their rookie debut.
None of the rookie quarterbacks, though, right? There's no way somebody should be starting a rookie QB.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. I'm starting
in week
both
1?
Of those guys in various leagues. Yeah, I'm starting both of those guys because the rushing prowess, right? I don't need. Are the passing skills going to be great in week 1? No. Can they run the ball? Heck yeah. They don't need a lot of training for that. So So I think the rushing skills that Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams bring makes them fantasy startable, including this week. And I've got them ranked. Hang on. It's coming right here. Got them ranked as quarterback 9 and quarterback 13.
All right. Okay. That's better than I thought. All right. That's better than I thought. As we're talking to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, is there a player that you're watching like, hey, you need to see something out of this guy to really maybe fully buy in? That it's a question mark for you, but they've got a chance even in 1 week to solidify it.
It's got to be Bijan Robinson, right? So last year finishes as the 12th highest scoring running back, 12th. But in fantasy drafts this year, he was going either second or third in fantasy drafts overall in the mid-first round. And to support that kind of elevated draft position, we need a massive uptick from Bijan Robinson in utilization. The problem is, and everybody just assumes that's going to happen because Arthur Smith is gone. But the problem is, offensive coordinator Zach Robinson is specifically, repeatedly saying that Tyler Allgeier is going to be heavily involved in this offense. Now, objectively, Bijan Robinson is way better than Tyler Allgeier. But sometimes that doesn't matter. Objectively, Aaron Jones was a billion times better than A.J. Dillon and didn't stop Green Bay from running a committee for years. And we know almost nothing about Zach Robinson because the Sean McVay coaching tree cycles out anybody instantly within fart-smelling distance of McVay. So you never get to know what these guys are all about. So it's a lot of moving parts here. If Bijan Robinson's going to handle the ball like, 18, 20 times a game, well, then fully justified, but we don't know that that's going to be the case, and people really rolled the dice on him in the first round.
Charge, I do. I saw your tweet, so I do want to issue an apology as someone who's fallen into this trap many times over many years. I am sorry that you drafted Kyle Pitts. You'll regret it. You will regret it, Charge. It's never going to work. I've been trying to get him traded to Kansas City. I got to give up on this. It's never happening.
It's never. Well, listen, this is the last chance, right? So here's the rationale is just this simple for drafting him. And by the way, I'm in a lot of leagues. I think 14 is my league count. And I got
Goodness, Charge. 14?
I know. Yeah, and the problem with 14 is, like, you have to be incarcerated to have enough time to properly manage 14 leagues. I mean, I'm not out there out offering trades and being a good owner. It's terrible. Here is Desmond Ridder was so bad. So bad. How bad was Desmond Ridder, you might ask? He was released by the Cardinals, cleared waivers a week ago, and the Cardinals were like, nah, I guess I'll throw him on the practice squad, and that's it. The downgrade was so severe, and now you get Kirk Cousins, who was leading the NFL in passing yards before his injury. Kirk has fed TJ Hockenson for years. I'm really optimistic that this is going to be the Kyle Pitts breakout season. Let's hope it comes together here.
Paul Charchian, GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us each and every Thursday, getting your lineup set. We appreciate it, man. This will be fun throughout the year.
Yeah, can't wait. It's always fun. Good luck. What's your official predictions for your squad this year?
So 14-3 for the Chiefs, and once again headed back to a Super Bowl.
13-4 for me, Charge. But if you think I'm picking them not to go to the Super Bowl at this point, I'm going to be right like 70% of the time at this rate.
Yeah,
so.
Right. So why not?
Why pick against it?
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, at that point, you're just being a contrarian.
All right. Thanks, Charge.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And our conversations with Paul are brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's good to have him back on. Someone says, I get excited when Charge talks about all the stats and his numbers fire me up. That's a direct text we got in.
People love Charge's segment. I do feel bad he took Kyle Pitts because the second I saw he had a hamstring injury again, I'm like, never again. I wanted to take Kyle Pitts in fantasy this year.
This is
and I got outdrafted and at least in fantasy. I mean, if he was still like on the street at Fable.
This is, I'm funny to hear you say this because my stance has been that he has been extremely overrated and at some point it's on him. And if this year he doesn't it's on him. It's not on Kirk Cousins. It's on him. So we'll see the kind of year he can have. Obviously, it's nice to have fantasy football back. Best of luck to everybody. Our Cody and Gold Guillotine League. Somebody's getting chopped this week. So we'll find out how that goes. At the end, though, Charge was asking us about our season-long prediction. So let's get back into that a little bit. Anyway, you heard our answer. I'm not going to spend too much time on the win-loss record because you heard us tell Charge. I have the Chiefs winning 14 games and going 14-3. Cody has enthusiasm going 13-4. Drew, earlier in the show, what did you say?
13-4.
13-4. So those are our win-loss records for everybody. But I think what's more interesting is just how do we see the Final Four kind of playing out? Everybody does this. So I don't care whether you're someone that's 70 years old, somebody that you're just learning football and you're 12 or 13. Everybody wants to predict how the season's going
to
go.
Well, because I'd like you to get NFL. It on paper. I hate the people who later on in life try to claim it.
So look,
I always knew the Colts were going to. No, you didn't.
Show me the receipts.
So we did our divisional stuff earlier in the week, right? We kind of know where we're on. But for the AFC title game, I think we all probably have the Chiefs picking it, but I have the Chiefs going up against the Texans. I've even been skeptical that, hey, I need to see the Texans prove it a little bit now that there's real expectations. But I think with CJ Stroud, that wide receiver room, Danielle Hunter now on the defense, and in that division, to me, they can rack up enough wins. They win that division. The Colts, to me, have a chance to push them a little bit. But Chiefs-Texans, AFC title game at Arrowhead. They'll play twice in like a three-week span.
I don't hate the pick. As in, it does make some sense, but it's banking on a year two surge from the Texans. And they're positioned. I'm not going to pretend like they don't have a good offensive weapons or good defensive players. They do. And D'Amico Ryans did incredibly well in his first season as a head coach. It's just so many unknowns. Can Stroud do it again? Can D'Amico do it again? Can they recreate the last place schedule they had the previous year and turn it into a first place schedule in what I think is a more competitive division? So after all that, I ended up with the Chiefs and not them, but the Ravens, the team that I think is the second best team in the league, not just because they're facing tonight. I think I've been kind of echoing that for the better part of a month. I love the signing of Derrick Henry. We can talk about what that means for tonight's game here in a minute. I love the signing of Derrick Henry for them. I think it fits them perfectly. I think it fits what they need to do stylistically in order to get more regular season wins, which they're plenty good at, but also maybe help them in the postseason not forget they have a running back like the last time. So I think it's Chiefs-Ravens on the AFC side. As you said, the 13-4. And Drew, I think you said you were Chiefs.
I am Chiefs-Bengals. Out of curiosity, Gold, the way that Cody and I put ours, we put opposing team, then the Chiefs, as if the Chiefs are hosting. Do you think the Texans are hosting?
Because I was just curious.
Yeah. Chiefs. Oh, no, I think the Chiefs are hosting it as well.
I think they are as well.
Yeah, I thought I said Chiefs at Arrowhead against Texans.
But at 14-3, they better be the one seed.
Who the hell is 15-2?
I'd be stunned.
I guess what? The Texans and Chiefs are both 14-3.
And the Texans beat them.
The Texans beat them in December. I mean, I guess that's the only scenario where that comes into play. But yeah.
That's going to be a problem.
Then on the NFC side, where are you guys at? Because I still think the 49ers, just like the Chiefs on the AFC side, I think the 49ers are clearly the best NFC team. That doesn't always mean you make it to the NFC title game, but I think they do. The Rams, you know, I'm very high on. I think they're going to push the Niners. I think the Rams will be one of those wild card teams that still wins 11 plus games, I should say. I have the Niners and the Rams in NFC West, NFC title game.
I love the Rams offense if they stay healthy, and I don't know how you couldn't. Matt Stafford, when healthy, is still a top five quarterback. I mean, he plays like it when they've got it going. 1,500-yard Puka Nacua to go with almost 2,000 yards not that long ago from Cooper Kupp.
Kyron Williams
and Blake Corum and Sean McVay's offensive mind. Boy, that offense could be. I think they, if they stay healthy in that unit, that's the number one offense in the NFL. That's the best offense in the league.
Could be.
But, they haven't stayed healthy, so I did not choose the Rams. Okay. And I did not choose the 49ers because Brock Purdy's going to have to prove it to me that he's a perennial in the NFC championship game kind of player before I do that. I went off book a little bit here. I'm buying into the Packers hype a little bit. Not way in, but I think they're in the NFC championship game, and I think that they're going to be one of those teams that competes. I have all NFC North championship game. I have the Lions and the Packers facing each other in the NFC. I think the Lions, again, plenty of weapons. That's not their issue. Retain their entire coaching staff. I think it's one of those two teams is going to emerge, in my opinion, of the NFC North champion. And when they emerge as that, I think they'll be coming out of the best division in football. I think they'll be coming out of the most competitive division in football. And then I just think somehow those two teams find their way. Brock Purdy, I got nothing against him. He's done very well in the league. There are very few quarterbacks I think are just going to go to a championship game, like an AFC or conference championship every year. And I don't feel that about Brock Purdy yet. So I
hear you.
I
it's just that roster's really not changed. It's the same. No. Unless McCaffrey gets hurt, same head coach, still have Debo, still have Ayuk, still have Kittle, still have McCaffrey, still have Bosa still have Fred Warner?
Yeah,
like,
I think this where, I know.
I think that's where our judgment of Brock Purdy is going to come after he gets paid, really, is where,
of course.
It's, where it's really going to come. I have the Green Bay Packers in there, and then I got a little bit of a surprise. I got the Atlanta Falcons in there. I said,
that's not crazy,
before
right?
they signed Kirk. To make the NFC title game, though, I think it might be a little bit more of a stretch.
It'll be it could change how everybody perceives Kirk Cousins. You know, I'm very high on Kirk Cousins. I think people are way too hard on him. But one of the fair criticisms is postseason success. He really hasn't been in the postseason all that often. But if he were to do what you're saying, which is make it all the way to NFC title game, well, that definitely ends a lot of that. And in year one, and it's really a 2-year, 3-year window there in Atlanta to make it happen. This is why they brought him in. So I don't think it's crazy. You should look up the odds on them to make the NFC title game. I think you like the number that you could probably find. I think they're going to win that division pretty comfortably. And then you have in the Super Bowl, then I'm assuming you have the Falcons then against the Chiefs, right?
No, unfortunately, I have the opposite of that. I have the Green Bay Packers and the Cincinnati Bengals, of course, in New Orleans.
There's just no way that's ever the Super Bowl. No universe is that the Super Bowl matchup.
Cody definitively is shutting it down.
Hang on a second.
Listen to that. Does it even sound right?
Yes.
Packers, Bengals, no
possible.
Way.
It is. It's
Bengals,
more, it's
Green
more,
Bay, and Cincinnati.
On. Okay.
It's more possible than Jets, Falcons.
I mean, I agree with that, I guess, but, you know. Who's your, by the way, since we're doing all this, who do you guys think is the NFL MVP?
Josh Allen.
I think Jordan Love.
I think you're all in on Jordan Love. You really are, though. You're all in on Jordan Love, clearly with the Packers pick. And so remember, for those that just, I know you know, but for those listening, MVP duds voted on before the regular season. So that, a lot of people have been making the case for Mahomes. I get it. But
And
using 3-peat as the reason, I push back on that.
Good narrative.
Unless they're,
last year.
But unless they're 15-2, the 3-peat narrative
doesn't apply to the MVP.
We're not going
to
know until voting would have already taken place. So he is a favorite for a reason. I have Josh Allen, and it's not like his odds are way bad. He's got the second best odds. He's 8-1. I think the narrative, what you were about to say, Cody, the narrative is on the side of Josh Allen.
Everybody, all those guys.
Everybody's kind of started to think the Bills run is over. I disagree. It's a division that people think maybe they don't win. And yeah, he lost his weapons. That's the narrative that's out there. And if he goes and puts up big numbers and still wins this division, I do think Josh Allen's in a really good spot. So that's been my MVP bet for 2 months now.
Matt Stafford. That's who I'm going to bet.
I like it.
He's going to put up some numbers.
Yeah.
Look at the weapons in McVay. And again, Stafford's healthy. And when healthy, Stafford does things. I like Matt Stafford because if their narrative is easy. Take the division, and it's yours. Now, look, I know I got a problem because I can't guarantee they're going to win the division.
That's tough.
Because the 49ers are in it. But I have that same – I personally have that same question with Josh Allen, who I also like as an MVP.
But you would agree the division – getting over the Niners is tougher than what the Bills are doing.
But I'm like – I picked Miami to win the division. So I'm back into the same boat where I'm like, I'm not sure either of these guys are winning the division for sure. So I'm going to put up the guy that if he won the division, I'm damn sure he got the award.
I'm not sure.
Josh Allen could win the AFC East and not get the award. If Matt Stafford does, he is.
I don't know if you're looking up the odds, Gold, but Matt Stafford on FanDuel 30-1 to win MVP. He's got the same odds as Trevor Lawrence to win MVP.
Well, that's ludicrous.
I said I'm very high on the Rams, and that means Matthew Stafford's going to have to play well. I still don't think they win the division, but I mean, I just told you I have them in the NFC title game, so I'm not too far off of thinking where you're at, Cody, at least with the potential performance. What about you said Jordan Love's your MVP?
I said Jordan Love's the MVP. I think that I think the Packers are the one seed in the
coming out of the North
in the NFC.
Okay. All right.
Those are our thoughts.
That would be the reason why.
I guess not going to come to the NFC South, that's for sure.
We're way late, but real quick, obviously, I have the Chiefs and 49ers in the Super Bowl, by the way.
I have the Chiefs winning.
I would assume you have the Chiefs winning.
I have the Chiefs winning a rematch again, third time they're playing the Niners.
I will plan on taking the Wednesday off after the Super Bowl because I think the Bengals are going to win first ever Super Bowl.
Not true.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Baby.
We don't need to pre-schedule a fill-in. I'm not worried.
Pray that we get through Sunday with a healthy
quarterback. Drew also thinks there's a money glitch and Santa's real.
No, hold on. Settle down.
We'll get to
someone said we were bullying.
I've been scammed, but not like this.
Bullying Drew today. We've been accused
you have
of that. Up next, we'll get to what's trending and right back into tonight's game, which is getting closer and closer to kick it off. How's Derrick Henry going to impact this one?
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That's next.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, obviously, it's the season kickoff tonight of the NFL at Arrowhead. Chiefs hosting the Ravens, Kansas City, 3-point favorites. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 o'clock right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5, The Fan. Of course, pre-game, The Game with Mitch Holthus, Dane and Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel. Post-game as well right here on 96.5, The Fan. And banner, 7:09, right? 7:09 is when the banner goes up.
So be in your seat.
They got the
four
replica giant Lombardi trophies outside the stadium already. Seen the photos of that. Can't wait. Going to be a nice night. I know there's a small chance of rain early in the evening, but we'll be good to go by the time kickoff hits.
I think we'll be just fine. Beautiful night in KC. You and I got lucky the other night. The Royals game. Chiefs fans, for the most part, getting some pretty good September weather. It'd be pretty toasty in September sometimes. Not so bad tonight. And of course, yeah, like you said, you can listen to the entire game right here on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan, which is also the home of the Royals, who stopped their losing streak last night. Hunter Renfrow has been called back up. They sent Steven Cruz down. So a one-day rehab trip for Hunter Renfrow, who will get back into the lineup tonight. Okay, now we're starting to get a little something cooking, right? Brady's, you know, like you still get Bobby Witt Jr., you still get Salvi in the middle. Tommy Pham's done a nice job at the top of the order. Renfrow, a little bit of room to lengthen it. They've switched MJ Melendez and Michael Massey as the lefty guy to kind of break up the righties in there. So maybe you can start putting a semi-functional lineup back together. They obviously still very much and will continue to miss Vinny Pasquantino. They're off tonight, of course. They'll start a three-game set against Minnesota tomorrow night.
Next up on What's Trending, you guys remember the Big 12. There was some noise recently about conversations perhaps they were having with UConn. Well, the latest out from the leak directly today is they are pausing expansion discussions.
Pausing is the important word there.
On UConn. Yeah, that means it's over. Pausing on UConn specifically. Doesn't mean that in the offseason there's not something that changes or other schools that become more interesting, etc., but they are pausing that. There was some reporting not too long ago suggesting that UConn could have joined as a basketball member like as soon as 2026 or something, and then football eventually. But everything is on pause right now.
I still think it's going to happen eventually because I think Brett Yormark knows his conference's path to victory at the moment is to be the king of basketball. No, it did not save the previous Big East, but, you know, they can't be the Big Ten and they can't be the SEC in football, and they're never going to be. So be king at something, and by adding UConn or Gonzaga down the road, you certainly can be that. Next up on What's Trending, Chiefsaholic has been sentenced for his crime of robbing 11 banks, as you previously know. He was sentenced to 17 and a half years in a federal prison. I was told federal sentences can only be reduced by 15%, up to 15%, for good behavior. So he's serving at least 14.8 years. Question of the day. Do you think he'll ever see Patrick Mahomes play in a live football game in person ever again?
No.
So you don't think Mahomes is playing until he's 43?
I do not.
And the Chiefsaholic's getting out on good behavior?
There is no good behavior for you have
again,
to serve at least.
Get it down to 85%, 14.8 years.
Yeah, but that's still.
He get out of 15 years.
Yeah, Mahomes is not playing 15 years from now, I don't believe. 43? Come on now. 43?
He might.
And you think the minute this guy gets out of prison that he's just got money to go to a Chiefs game?
He'll
remember.
He'll always scrap something together. He'll figure it out.
He's hoping that the Chiefs kingdom will come together.
I'll actually make Chiefsaholic a promise.
If
you get out, I got a plus one for you, man.
Hold on. So you're
I'll offer him the ticket.
So you're gonna you're gonna become friends with a convicted felon.
I said I'll go to one game.
Cody, you'll be 57.
What the hell's that got to do with it?
I'm just saying.
So I can't go because I'll be 57. I shouldn't be taking this risky behavior anymore. My kids will be in college. It's fine.
I don't know. From the beginning of this case, folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing.
Oh man, I will never get tired of that speech.
We haven't had anything from his lawyer regarding the sentencing yet, correct? I haven't seen anything.
What's that?
We haven't seen anything from the lawyer since.
Oh, we haven't played that.
His lawyer comments on the courthouse steps, I can promise you we will have it for you. But it has not happened, to my knowledge.
Mm. Or need,
says,
need
did you
that.
Call the number? No, I set the over-under at, 14.5 or 13.5 years for Xavier.
The overhit. Just like tonight. Overhit. Can I, you know what, in honor of him, should we take, can I get an alt line minus 17.5 on the Chiefs tonight? To win by more than 17? Can I?
You can if you want to, but yes, that exists if you would like to bet.
Can I get it up that high? 17.5?
You think the Chiefs are winning by 18 points?
Yeah, in honor
You're
of
trying
Chiefs
to
Holic.
Say that like DraftKings is going to put, or FanDuel is going to pop up with one of those.
A Chiefsaholic special?
Yeah.
I just can't get over still the fact that the day of his sentencing, someone said I was a conspiracy theorist. I refuse to believe that it was a coincidence that the sentencing from the judge today was on Chiefs game day to kick off the 3-peat campaign.
By the way,
they could have done it yesterday, could have done it tomorrow. I don't know how the schedule works in the federal court, but you're telling me that of all Thursdays, this was the Thursday, not next Thursday, not the Thursday before, this Thursday?
Just happened to land?
Hmm. Right now, Cody, you can get on FanDuel minus 17.5.
Okay.
Plus 630.
Perfect. 6-1. All right.
Someone says, Cody, convicts cannot hang out together.
I'm not a felon. I am a convicted criminal, technically. Although that got
wiped from your record, right?
Actually,
you're
not.
Clean.
I did my community service. I replaced some mailboxes. I'm clean.
Good for you.
So do you think he has money buried somewhere? No, I think he spent all of it. I think he's broke.
Well, he does owe $500,000 in fines, and he had to return that painting.
Yeah, but I think the money, the restitution, I guess it is, that is more of a, like, not, in a way almost symbolic, like making sure he cannot profit off of his incarceration, I think is kind of why that was ruled that way from, if I remember right, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like, because there's, you know, Netflix movies, there's maybe a book or all that he can't, if he profits, it has to go to the,
correct.
I think that's why the dollar amount was set so high.
I was going to ask, is that documentary, how much of him actually is included
in
it?
Or is
it
just the story?
Like, is he actually in it?
I think he's supposed to be in that one. Someone says, does he get any credit for the time he spent? What do you mean? Running away or like the actual time he was in jail after he got caught?
And I mean, also, this current time while he's been waiting for sentencing, I believe you. I think,
so maybe not 43, maybe more like 41 and a half.
I'm not sure. You're a little more. Well versed on the legal system, given your time in incarceration. So
I got picked up before the morning hit. I was in a holding facility.
Yeah.
It doesn't even exist anymore. It was in the old, like, bumblebee-colored one up off Barry Road.
Yeah, I don't know how that was. Has he been in for 2 full years yet in the federal system?
He was escaped for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, I don't think he's been in for 2 years. This thing started that we knew of 2 years ago, right? So,
also, did he get any time for that? For the escaping?
No. Hell no. What? No.
No. Did he get any, like, time added to his sentence?
No, this is.
He escaped federal custody.
He got charged for the armed robberies. I don't think I don't know how much of a factor that other stuff was. I mean, obviously, he hasn't been available. They didn't set bail once he cut the ankle monitor off. There's
right
no
jail.
Bail opportunity.
Straight to jail. Do not pass go. All that.
Do you think now that he's behind bars for this long, do you think the chances of getting an interview, do they go up now that he knows he's in there for the long haul?
Yeah.
Okay.
Drew's going to have to pick up the phone and be like, a collect call from Chiefsaholic. Do you accept the charges? And he's just going to have to put that on Odyssey. Just gonna say,
there,
yeah.
Is there any way, would you rather, I think you'd rather have Xavier on, but would you rather have the lawyer on instead of Xavier?
I mean, Chiefsaholic, if I'm given a choice. I mean, I'll take the lawyer. I'm not saying no.
Because I was going to say that might be the next best option. I would assume they're not going to let us
have that
conversation.
Let people in prison speak on the phone.
Well, yes, but
again, as we said yesterday, FM signal, I'm sure, goes through the bars a lot clearer than AM. You can listen to the games on 96.5 The Fan.
On his clear radio. They're always like, you know, see-throughs so that you can't hide contraband.
Oh, makes sense. Again, you would know. Thank you.
I would know.
Thank you.
Covered at least on that end. So the game tonight, obviously we're all thrilled. We've gotten through a 4-hour show, which means we only got like 5.5 hours left to wait before the Chiefs and the NFL season finally kick off. I just think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC right now with a little bit of gap between the next closest team. That's why I'm confident they're winning tonight. I don't think they're going undefeated. But tonight, when you get an entire offseason to prepare, and Patrick Mahomes has been as good as he has been in season opening games, and as good as he has been against the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh, it is hard for me, even though I fear the signing of Derrick Henry and how good that could make that Ravens offense. I just think they're going to win. I think the game goes high point total wise. I think both teams are going to score, and I think the Chiefs are going to want to make a point to the league that they can score. I mean, every week they're going to be able to do this, but I think they drop 30 tonight. I have the Chiefs 30-24 at the end of the day, but I do think that this is a high scoring game. I think Baltimore would be able to get some points too, because the Chiefs defense still has questions.
You said, you know, the points that this offense can show they can score. And that to me is the opportunity of tonight. Yeah, of course, to get off on the right foot, start 1-0 might help you in seeding down the road by having a win over Baltimore, who will likely be in that conversation, we think, as one of the top seeds. That's all true. But I think when you're on a three-peat campaign, which begins this evening at Arrowhead, there's also the message you can send that the offense is back in Kansas City. The offense that most people got used to up until last year, whether you want to pick 2022 or the historically great 2018 offense, that this offense is a problem again for everybody. That's the chance they have tonight. Everybody's watching, as
I
you
think
said.
Can make a point. Yeah.
Everybody's watching, whether that's scoring 30 points or more, I don't know. I'll give my score here in a second. But that's what they can do to the rest of the league. And if you're Andy Reid, like everybody looks at film anyway, but if on this stage, if they prove, whether it's Xavier Worthy or eventually in the year Hollywood Brown, that the deep passing attack is something you have to respect, then look out, rest of the league. You're not going to be able to play the same way. That means you're not going to be able to triple team Travis Kelce, because we got Worthy that
can
go deep.
Can't clog up the middle for Rice and Kelce.
Rashee Rice is in year two. I think he's improved as a receiver. We'll see that hopefully starting tonight. They still have Isaiah Pacheco, who slimmed down a little bit, who's supposed to be a better receiver. All of these are messages that I think they can send. Everybody knows they're a great team already, but you can send a message that this offense, you kind of had us last year, but you didn't take advantage of it. Now we have a pretty damn good defense still. Oh, and the offense is back to being top five. That's what I'm excited to hopefully see tonight. I have the Chiefs winning, covering the three, 28-24. So the game goes over and the Chiefs cover. I have a Carson Steele touchdown mix.
I've got
there.
A couple of bets in for tonight.
There you go,
I think the biggest long shot I probably have for the evening is I am convinced that one of the first three plays of this game tonight is going to travel 60 yards in the air in the attempt of Xavier Worthy.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So I have a first touchdown bet on him.
Ooh, okay.
Because I feel like one of the first three passes in this game is going in the air towards him. They're going to give him a shot and give the league a shot to just put him on notice and do it right away. It's because of camp. And I know that maybe that's just misleading me. I cannot tell you how many times inside the first 10 minutes of camp a ball traveled 60 yards towards Xavier Worthy. They weren't all complete. Sometimes you overthrow them a little bit. Sometimes the coverage is pretty good, but damn, it didn't stop them from trying every single day. And honestly, I think it's a better time to bet it now, because without Hollywood Brown, I expect Xavier Worthy, kind of like the way Felix Anudike-Uzomah did the first couple of weeks last year with no Aminihu, I expect Xavier Worthy to maybe play the most snaps these first couple of weeks if Hollywood's not available, and then it kind of comes back down a little bit, then back up later in the year and all that stuff. I think he's going to get chances tonight.
He'll get his opportunities tonight. His longest reception prop is over under 20 and a half yards, and it makes sense that that's where the number sits, considering the ability to obviously stretch the field. And yeah, I don't know if they'll do it first drive or not. I think if you're dreaming and you're laying it all out, that would be fun to see right out of the gate. I'm sure the Ravens are aware of that as well. So we'll see, but we both sounds like have a lot of points being scored and the Chiefs covering.
In terms of bet, we're not giving score, correct?
We're just
giving.
We are, yeah.
I give a score. Yep. We don't have that much time left in the show.
So my score is 24-20. I think the Chiefs win. It's going to be one of those where I think Mahomes goes down on a drive and they win the game. I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring just because the Ravens defense is going to bear down. I do think there's going to be at least one or two shots taken for Xavier, or maybe even a touchdown in that scenario. One of the bets that I like is Mahomes right now on the alt line on BetMGM. You can get him over. Or 230 plus, Rashee Rice 50 yards plus, and a Mark Andrews touchdown plus 360. So,
you bought the yardage down, because his straight up yardage is 260.
I brought the yardage down. I tend to do that because I like to play it safe.
Mahomes going for the passing yard record, right? In Chiefs history, I believe.
And Travis Kelce, I believe, passes.
Today already?
I think it's
not even 30.
Travis Kelce,
ridiculous.
Okay, Rob Collins put this out. With one catch tonight, he passes Jason Witten on the all time tight end reception list or something along those lines.
I think it's a touchdown. I think he's on the touchdown list. But either way,
touchdown list. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Anyways, along those lines. Yes.
Yeah. If Mahomes gets 300, this is from our friend Rob Collins. With 300 passing yards tonight, Mahomes would surpass Matt Ryan for the most 300 yard passing games by a player in his first 10 career seasons.
And while
this is year seven as a starter,
while you're there, Rob also put out
his first 10 seasons. You're like, because I saw the side by side first 8 seasons for Mahomes and Brady. I'm like, but Mahomes hasn't finished his 8th season because It was like they had Mahomes already had more MVPs. They had the same number of Super Bowl titles. Mahomes had him, but just a little bit in touchdowns and yardage and all this stuff. And you're like, he hasn't even finished playing the 8th season in this side by side stat.
So ridiculous. Someone on the text line 913-586-7965 with their prediction says Ravens win. Sneed's departure will be the topic of conversation tomorrow. They will expose our secondary.
We'll see.
I hope not.
I do think the secondary is a question heading in that we want to have an answer to one way or the other. We talked about that earlier, and what does the secondary look like?
I'd like to feel better about it than I do now.
How do the Ravens try to attack the Chiefs? But I, for me, it's the rush defense in this particular matchup. This defense was great last year, but they were, I think, gave up the 8th most yards per carry in football, like 4.5 or something yards per carry. So what do they do against Derrick Henry? And Derrick Henry's played the Chiefs multiple times now in a Titans system a couple years ago. And he had over 100 yards on 22 carries or something like that. So what do the Chiefs do there? And, of course, they probably will use that to set up some shots down the field to Zay Flowers. But how do the Chiefs' interior of the defensive line, and for that matter, really the edge, with Felix in particular, can he do a good job on the edge when needed in rundowns? And that'll get tested tonight.
Derrick Henry's over-under, by the way, at least on FanDuel, 63.5. yards.
I mean, I'm just staying away from that one.
I am too. I think it's over, but I don't want to touch it.
The only bets that I would, like, we talked about, Chiefs -3, over 46. I have a long shot on Carson Steele touchdown when it was 12-1. It's 5-1 now. And then Worthy over 20.5 receiving longest reception.
Well, we can both win a bet if he gets a 60-yard touchdown on the second play of the game.
The text line points out the only worry with yours is the Chiefs win the toss, defer, and then it's
most
the Ravens
teams do
march
now,
down,
so
march down the field.
Yeah,
the Chiefs always do though, and they usually win the toss. I guess they're mentioning the Chiefs always seem to win the toss.
Win the toss a lot. Yeah, it's a risk.
I do have Mahomes.
I mean, that's why it's a long shot bet. It's the same odds as you're getting for a Carson Steele touchdown, right?
At any time, yeah.
I'm doing first touchdown.
For Worthy to get a touchdown at any point is only plus 150. Yeah.
Well, I have Mahomes under 62.5 in the first quarter combined rushing and passing because of the exact reason the Ravens take 7-8 minute long drives all the time. That's what they did in the AFC. They took half the freaking quarter just to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. I just have a feeling that's the way they're going to start things out.
That's the only part that makes me a little nervous on the total. 46 is what
eating up clock.
And we looked at the trends earlier in the show just for the old offense is what I'll call it, right? That's the question for the Chiefs. This is a new offense, but the old offense, games at Arrowhead for the last 22 have mainly gone under. I think 18 of the last 22 games at Arrowhead have gone under the total. We're going to be back at it tomorrow talking about game number one, hopefully a win. I don't know if we'll call it Red Friday, Cody, or not. I think we might call it Red Friday tomorrow.
No. You got Red Tuesday.
I'm not sure what
we'll do. Now you get Friday, too?
Victory Friday.
They don't even play.
Victory Friday. I had to mention that because I knew that'll get Cody all fired up.
You don't get 2 days in the same week. And game day. All the days.
Back at it tomorrow. We're going to hand things off to the drive, and then they'll hand things off from under at 4 o'clock. Pregame coverage begins right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.